The Point Radio.
It's Mike Robb. Carlton Cuse and Josh Holloway have found their way back to each other for a new series called Colony on the USA Network. And they'll take us along for the ride. Plus, WWE superstar and champion Charlotte talks about why this is the year for women in sports entertainment. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
TV mainstay Carlton Cuse has teamed up with writer and executive producer Ryan Condal for Colony, a new series headed to the USA Network, and one that started with a love for a certain aspect of World War II. Ryan explains.
Yeah, that was a big inspiration. I mean, Carlton and I are both huge fans of history, and particularly World War II history, and we were really, really fascinated by the Nazi occupation of Europe, because you had this massive, overwhelming technological force that took over all these countries, and very quickly the people adapted and tried to survive in this world, and things were, you know, you had the incongruity of Nazi tanks set against these amazing medieval cities from you know, European history, and life in these places went on very quick. People adapted, moved on. And the thing that really fascinated us as drama storytellers was the villains in these stories. You know, everybody knew the Nazis were bad. The really interesting thing were the collaborators within those places that allied with the Nazis. You know, the Vichy in France, and it's like, how do you do that? How do you turn against your own people? And they would all have their own stories and justifications for that, and that just felt like a really rich place for storytelling for us.
The project has been in the works for a while, as Carlton pointed out.
We've been talking about the show for over 2 years now, and we made the pilot around this time last year, but even there was a year of writing that led up to that. So, you know, we've really had a lot of time to live in this world and talk quite a bit about the Nazis. So that's good old pastime.
But don't worry, the story will be quick to develop.
Yeah, it starts out right. I mean, certainly the human story kicks off in the very first episode of the show, and you know, there's a. You know, Josh's character plays an ex-FBI agent who's sort of forced to become a collaborator and hunt down the resistance, and that's really where our story starts. And there's a lot of twists and turns that occur, and a lot of moral dilemmas that come up for him and his family members as he's on that quest.
And there's a lot of great story here too, as explained by series star Josh Holloway.
What's so rich about the storytelling is in reality, what would you do if they had your family there to hang or burn or kill or send to a concentration camp? What decisions would you make when you're put in that situation? Who comes first, your family or humanity? And these are uncomfortable themes and old themes in human history, one of the oldest. We've either been colonized or colonized someone else throughout human history. So these are it has sci-fi elements, but it's ultimately a human story.
Josh said both the audience and the characters will be taking the journey of the story together.
I love a story where the audience knows as much about what's going on as the characters, and it's a slow reveal of the mysteries and what's happening, and you take the ride with me. And I love big storytelling. I love sci-fi. Dune was my favorite series ever, all of that. And so I love high concept. I love exploration and where it can go with a character. Whereas in a movie, you've got, you know, your beginning, middle, end. That's it. With TV, you can really explore and keep expanding and be surprised where you may go. So immediately when Carlton called me up, I was already interested. And then I read it, and I was hooked. That was it. And I had known Ryan's work before, because we had talked about they had done a pilot a year before called The Six Gun, which was fantastic. And I wanted to do that. It wasn't the right time for me for that. So I already had this team on the radar. Like, what else are they going to bring? So it's fantastic.
With Carlton and Josh involved, obviously Lost came up. And the question everybody always asks is, what was with the finale?
You know, I mean, I fully expected that there was no possible ending to the show that would satisfy all the people that were out there. And so, you know, when Damon and I sat down to write the finale, it was like, let's do the version that we want to do. Let's tell the story that we want to tell. So, I was very reconciled to the fact that it would be great for some people and it wouldn't work for other people. And that's fine. I mean, you know, I feel like we live in a time when so much emphasis is put on how things end. I mean, I think that that's not, in my view, the real criteria by which something should be judged. I think out of 120, there were 121 hours of Lost, and hopefully it was an entertaining journey, and the journey was enjoyable. And whether when you got to the end, some people, you know, liked it, some people didn't like it, but I think we worked hard to make that journey really engaging.
There's new episodes of Colony every Thursday on USA, and catch up whenever you like with the USA Now app.
The Point Radio.
When it comes to comic sales for 2015, there's only two words you need to know. That's Star Wars. All that and more coming up as we look at the latest in pop culture. You can add Stars to the list of cable networks that'll be adding their own app sometime during the first quarter. Stars will be going along with what's already been done by HBO and Showtime with an app that should be available on Amazon, Roku, and on Apple TV as well. No word yet on exactly when that'll be released. And speaking of Apple TV, look for a big new update coming over the next few weeks. There's a beta version already out that's been released to developers. It's called TVOS 9.2. And it'll have a number of new features, including the ability to let you put your apps all in one folder. Bill Hader is coming to HBO. The network has ordered a half-hour pilot, co-written and directed by Hader. It focuses on an ex-Marine who works as a low-rent hitman in the Midwest. It's part of his overall development deal with the network and should appear sometime later this year. Meanwhile, Netflix has a 13-episode reboot of the Norman Lear classic comedy One Day at a Time coming up. The reboot, this time, will feature a Cuban-American family. Look for more familiar characters and even a familiar face coming to Supergirl on CBS. Laura Vandervoort, who, of course, was Kara Supergirl on Smallville, will be playing Indigo. And Jeff Branson will bring the character of Master Jailer to the show sometime over the next few weeks. The former ABC series Forever is getting a life on DVD with all 22 episodes and some unseen material being released in a box set that's coming to shelves fairly soon. It'll be a 5-disc DVD set that'll contain, as we said, all the episodes and some never-before-seen deleted scenes from the show, as well as some special features. The whole package is set to be released coming up in a few days on January 19th and can be seen easily right now at WBShop.com. In case you miss all the hubbub, Kevin Smith is signed on to direct an episode of The Flash coming up in May. And in the meantime, Smith's regular television series, Comic Book Men, returns to AMC in a few weeks. 2015 in the comic stores was another Marvel-dominated year, with them ending up with almost double digits over DC as far as the shares went and the separation between the two companies. Overall, comics grew almost 9% when compared to the same 12 months in 2014, and graphic novels were up about 3% as well over the year. The top 10 best-selling books of 2015 in comic stores, well, it was all about Star Wars for Marvel, that's for sure. At number 10, it's Princess Leia, number 1. Number 9, Invincible Iron Man, number 1. Spider-Gwen, number 1, came in at number 8. At number 7, Darth Vader, number 1. At number 6, Vader Down, number 1. DC jumps in at number 5 with Dark Knight 3, Master Race, number 1. Couple of surprises with Orphan Black, number 1, coming in at number 4 from IDW. And from Boom at number 3, Bravest Warriors, The Tales of Holo John, number 1. Number 2 bestseller for the year, Secret Wars, number 1. And, of course, the top book for 2015, Star Wars, number 1 from Marvel.
The Point, The Point.
Comics ended the year having a 25% increase on their sales in comic stores over where they were in December of 2014. Not a bad month for DC either, who gained 3 points, and Marvel lost 6 share points, bringing them closer together than they have been in a long time. The top 10 bestsellers in comic stores for December were the Darth Vader Annual, number 1, at number 10. Star Wars Annual at number 9. The Harley's Little Black Book from DC came in at number 8. Darth Vader number 14 was number 7. Guardians of Infinity number 1 was the 6th bestseller. Batman again in the top 10. Issue 47 came in at number 5. The Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover, first issue, came in at number 4. Star Wars number 13 was the 3rd bestseller. Number 2 was Dark Knight 3, The Master Race number 2. And the number 1 biggest book in comic stores in December from Marvel, Secret Wars number 8.
The point.
She's the reigning WWE Divas Champion. And along with her other talents, Charlotte brings to the ring a huge legacy. She's the daughter of Ric Flair, one of the great sports entertainers of all time. So with wrestling being so much a part of her life, I ask her what her first memories of the business were.
I want to say my first memory, two that really stick out when I was little is, one, when my whole family was in Chicago, and I remember it being really cold, and my dad, it was me, my dad, Muhammad Ali, my mom, my sister, both my brothers, and there was just a lot of press around us. I think my dad was fighting Hogan that night, and then I remember being really small in the stands with my dad's parents, my grandparents, when he wrestled Vader in Charlotte, Starrcade 93.
What was the first time she stepped into a ring?
I was in the ring a couple times with WCW, just like being part of little storylines. But the very first time I stepped in the ring to actually, I guess, consider doing it myself was after I signed, moved down to Tampa, and at the time it was called SCW, was a week before I started. It was July 2012. And it was at High Spots in Charlotte, and it was me, my little brother Reed, my dad, obviously the owner of High Spots was there, but not in the ring, and then Lodi, who lives in Charlotte, who was a part of WCW, and my dad and brother and him just taught me how to run the ropes, and that was about it, but I didn't have any formal training until I got to FCW.
Having that huge legacy beside her, was there a lot of pressure when Charlotte first came into the business?
It changes as you progress. So when I first started developmental, it was more or less, you know, wanting to prove to the kids that I deserved to be there, that I wasn't, you know, just given a handout. Or if I was given a handout, you know, I could work just as hard as everyone else. And then, you know, getting on an XTV and trying to figure out who, you know, who's Charlotte, you know, does she, you know, woo, strut, do things like her dad, or, you know, does she not do any of it? And then winning the NXT title and then growing as a performer and then debuting. So I'd say just over time, the pressure changes. Like, for instance, now I'm on camera with my dad, which is, you know, my dad is larger than life. So it's like, how do I, you know, he's with me as my manager, but it's, you know, I'm the one wrestling. I'm the one, you know, that has the title. So how do I, you know, compare to my dad on screen? Does that, not that it's a competition, but it's just different. As my career evolved, it's kind of like, you know, how do I deal with the pressure at that time?
Due to some great inroads with their NXT division, women's wrestling in the WWE has taken a big change over the past year.
You know, it's just kind of the year of women. And I hate to make it, you know, with Ronda Rousey, the U.S. women's soccer team, Serena Williams, it's just, I think, the demand for wanting to see women's wrestling versus, you know, just women looked at as eye candy. And also the change from what, you know, at NXT, the Four Horsewomen, and then kind of what the, you know, the girls have been doing on the main roster. It's just, there just needed to be a change, and people were actually, you know, gravitating towards it. And I think the more our male counterparts view us as not, you know, just valets or eye candy or popcorn matches, I think we'll just continue to get stronger as a division as a whole and learning to work together.
So if she wasn't in the business, is there anything else she'd like to do?
First thing is I would go back to personal training, because that's what I did before I wrestled, and I absolutely I love personal training. Kids, adults, anyone, you know, that's having a hard time losing weight or is always or is already in shape and just wants a trainer. I mean, that I have such a passion for personal training. But if not now that I'm a part of the business, I would love to go back to NXT and work with the girls there.
Get Charlotte in action along with all the WWE superstars every Thursday on SmackDown. Now on the USA Network. And you can always see more on the WWE Network. That does it for the podcast, but you know we're easily findable on great websites like ComicMix.com, PopCultureUpload.com, TrekTVNews.com, and, of course, in the iTunes podcast directory. You can follow us on Twitter under PC Upload and on Facebook under The Point Radio. We'll see you back here in a few days.
Get The Point Radio.